When you are at peace, you are of clear mind. That means that which has tried to pull dominion over your train of thought is under subjection. So the only time that we ever put this worry beneath us is when we enter in to worship. When we enter in by prayer and worship. Not just praise and worship, prayer and worship. Here we find Moses. I'm not left you. We're going back to Exodus. So what do we do now? Read with me at verse 25. And he, being Moses, cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance. And there he proved them and said, if thou wilt diligently hear this church, highlight it in your Bible, mark it down in your life, don't forget this. And if you forget it tonight, it'll be on the website next week. Hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee. That was meaning the disease that was in the water, the byproduct of bitterness. That I will not put this on thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that what? Healeth thee. By his stripes we were healed. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. When you finally get through the end of what you're dealing with, and you let the Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means overcome that battle of bitterness inside of your head, that God can lead you to the end of this thing. The tree made the water sweet. The tree was there all the time. The tree speaks of the tree of Calvary. Here we go. I've been waiting for this very moment. That tree was there all along. They came and the tree was by the bitter waters. And that tree cast into the bitter waters, made the waters to be cleansed. What a powerful word right there. When we have the worst of times, when you let Jesus Christ dwell in the middle of your bitterness, oh, the tree's there all the time. Jesus is there with you all the day long. Not a moment goes by where you don't have God. Not a moment goes by that if you'll use it, it'll be peace to you. And you won't sit around and question, what am I going to do? But you'll put it in that bitterness, and you won't get the disease of the water. You won't let sin overwhelm you. Do you see Calvary in this situation? Do you see the cross in that tree? He said he was the tree of life. The cross will sweeten, didn't say make it all go away, but it would sweeten the bitter waters of your life. We always heard the expression, being a Christian ain't a bed of roses. There's going to be thorns in that bush, but there still is beauty to behold in a rose. I'm just thankful that God sent this word tonight. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just thankful for the wisdom that he showed me. And I'm taking it as my first fruit, because I've stood by the bitter waters way too long. And I've said stuff I shouldn't have said for way too long. All the doubt and the fear and the worry, let it define me. And then it's impossible without faith to please the Lord. And when we're in bitterness, we cannot praise him with substance, because faith is the substance that drives you to be obedient. In essence, you are what you drink. You are what you eat. And how much that you enjoy God, here we go, is not up to how well they sing the song for you. Here we go. It's not up to the preacher to cause your waters to be sweet. Moses couldn't have did anything to cause that to happen. It had to be by the tree. It couldn't have been by his own hand, but it was the demonstration of faith. He prayed and the Lord showed him unto something that was foolish. Scientists, if there had been a few with some lab coats on in that hour, would have been like, dude, you are crazy. No tree is going to cause waters to be pure. Even in the day that we live in, find you a creek somewhere where something's died and look at a tree and ask yourself, would it really cause that to be pure? So we know that it's not in the tree itself, but it was what the tree represented by faith. So by faith, we know that Jesus died for us. By faith, we know that he brought us the victory. By faith, We know that all the sins that were in our life have been forgiven. And by grace, we can still live like we're saved. The Lord spoke to me and said this very plainly, that I need to demonstrate more accountability. That means walk a life in God to where you can expect good things from me. When you do things that are selfless, like when Sister Jamie was singing and pouring her heart out, that was just sort of an unplanned moment. We didn't orchestrate in practice that she was going to keep going, but she followed her heart in what the Lord was showing her. And Jamie, I know with all that's in me, you're going to be blessed from that. Not because anybody clapped or gave you a high five and said that was awesome, but because you acted in faith by what God showed you. I'm talking to each and every one of you tonight. Look inside, deep down in the bottom of your well, and examine the water. Would you drink of the water? Would you drink of the words you've said all week? Ask yourself. Think about everything that you've talked about, everyone you've talked about, every action that you've taken, and ask yourself, would I drink of my own water? Chances are, we all need the tree. There is none perfect among us except Jesus Christ. So it ain't in the preacher to cause you to get over bitterness, but it's through Christ. And as we all look to that cross together, the presence of God is manifest. He said where two or three would agree, come into the same state of mind. When you're in God's presence, you're at peace. When two or three will come in peace, he said, I would be in the midst. I'm talking about I'll be there to perform the miracle. I'll be there to cause deliverance for your children. I'll be there to bring depression underneath your feet. I'll be there in your darkest hour. I will calm the storm. We are the body of Christ. We represent not the tree. We represent the faith and the willingness to suffer. To be Christ-like is to be obedient and faithful and to suffer. For by Christ's faith in what God spoke to him and his suffering for us, we have a way of escape. Isn't that powerful? We've been walking around too bitter. I'm just going to get to plain talk now. We've been too bitter. We've been so bitter that we have let the devil steal all our joy. By the time we get in week to week at church, we don't even have a willingness just to say, thank you, Lord. Just to say, God, I praise you. All week long, the devil can push against you, but you still have Jesus. You have that cross to lean on. You have the assurance knowing that there was one that suffered on your behalf so that you didn't have to suffer alone. I don't know where I'll be 20 years from now if we're still on this earth. I don't know if I'll have kids. I don't know if I'll have a job. I don't know where I'll be living, and I don't know what I'll be doing. I'm going to go through many more battles, many more things that are out of my control. And to be honest with you, that kind of uncertainty sometimes leaves me at an unrest. Many nights I just lay with my eyes open wondering what's going to come and what's going to be. I don't know about what's going to come for me in my future, but I'm choosing to put the cross in my bitter waters, that the words that I speak be life and not death. We have to bridle our tongue through Jesus Christ. You want to know how you can gut check yourself? Next time that you get mad about something, just think about Jesus and see how many more words that you'll say. Because when light comes and you speak the name of Jesus, that bitterness can't continue. The demon possessed can no longer have a hold. The devil rages daily, hourly, to the minute, even tonight, even during this sermon, he's raged. But those that will believe by faith, he said, he who the Son sets free is free. He who will receive that they know they're free. Oh, church. He or she that will receive that they know they're free is more free than anything you could give. Silver and gold have I none. But the fact that I know that I'm free, I let you know it. I give it to you. When we were on our vacation in Paris, we went to the museum called the Louvre, and there was this painting that depicted the wedding feast at Cana, and it was as wide as these two walls are here, and it was as tall as the base of this floor past the ceiling. And I stood there for about 35 minutes and looked at this picture. Marveled at this because the miracle that took place in that wedding feast was that the water was turned into wine. They didn't have what they needed for the celebration, but Jesus supplied the miracle that represented that when he calls for us and we go to our wedding celebration to commemorate the fact that we made it, we will celebrate with the substance. I appreciate you paying attention and giving me your time. I know time is precious, and I intend never to waste it. I'm trying to provoke the spirit within you to ask yourself, am I in a good place that what I drink of me, that I can live? Or do I need more of Christ, that what I'm going through in this wilderness, that I'll survive? I need him. Just like we sang tonight, I need him. I'm thankful that he has never failed me. He didn't fail me on the cross. He didn't fail me in the tomb. And he's not failed me as he sits on the right hand of God when he comes to call for me. Where will you be found when he calls for you?